Good morning. The markets are moving and so are you from the BizNews studios. This is BizNews Daybreak for Friday, the 19th of December, 2025. Our final episode for the year. We'll be back after this on the 5th of January. So sit back, enjoy. We'll have some special insights for you today. But kicking off first with the overnight markets, and it was a very green day on Wall Street, and particularly for the stocks that took a hammering earlier in the week. You might recall that many of the BizNews portfolio shares were, well, hit hard, especially yesterday when we woke up. Well, this morning we wake up and it's exactly the opposite. Our favorite stock, Palantir, 4.75% higher, $185. Amazon picked up 2.5%, so did Meta. Nvidia was 2% better, so was Google and ASML. So it's a good session for Wall Street last night, in particular for the stocks that we have in our portfolios. The NASDAQ, the tech stock heavy NASDAQ index, up by 1.3%. The S&P 500 was just under 1% stronger. Bitcoin even lifted its head. That's at $87,000 this morning, and the rand is continuing on its merry way, 16.74. It seems that the idea that the 3% inflation target is going to be stuck to is slowly gaining credence in the markets, and certainly amongst South Africans as well. Inflationary expectations have been falling. In the most recent survey, it showed that we do actually believe that we can get down to 3% and perhaps even lower. And that is the anchor that the Reserve Bank Governor, Lesetse Ganyaho, has been working at for so hard, for so long. And let's just assess for a minute the impact if that were to be achieved. That would mean that the rand would no longer be this highly fragile, volatile currency, which was on a downward path because our inflation was higher than those of other countries in the world. But in fact, the rand would become something of a store of value, because at a 3% inflation rate, that in a global sense is pretty solid when you consider the inflation expectations that we're seeing in other parts of the world, including in the mighty United States of America. Well, talking about the mighty United States of America, our partners at Bloomberg have reported that TikTok is going to get local ownership. Isn't that interesting? Let's get with Doug Krisner now on Bloomberg News Now.
TikTok has signed binding agreements to create a U.S. joint venture majority owned by American investors. According to an internal memo reviewed by Bloomberg, CEO Shou Chu said agreements with Oracle, Silver Lake, and MGX have been signed. Now, this U.S. joint venture will operate as an independent entity. Here is Bloomberg's Mike Shepard.
The idea is that it would be a copy leased from ByteDance, but then retrained to some degree or another by Oracle and also walled off in a way. They would create some sort of a security firewall or barrier that would keep ByteDance from ever gaining access to U.S. data or to the algorithm itself out of concerns that there could be some manipulation.
That is Bloomberg's Mike Shepard. Coinbase Global is suing three states over their attempt to regulate prediction markets. The states are Michigan, Illinois, and Connecticut. Now, state agencies and casinos want the authority over prediction markets to rest with states and their respective gambling laws. However, Coinbase will ask for court orders affirming that the states cannot interfere with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission's exclusive jurisdiction over prediction markets granted by Congress. The European Union has agreed to provide a loan to Ukraine of 90 billion euros for the next 2 years. Now, the aim is to strengthen Kyiv's hand and to keep Ukraine afloat. This loan will be backed by the EU's budget. President Trump has signed an executive order to accelerate loosening of restrictions on marijuana, but the president did stop short of legalizing it. Currently, marijuana is labeled as a Schedule I drug, the government's most restrictive class, alongside substances such as heroin and LSD. Well, now the Justice Department has been instructed to begin the steps to shift cannabis to Schedule 3. That's a tier reserved for drugs with accepted medical uses and lower potential for abuse. Here is President Trump.
The facts compel the federal government to recognize that marijuana can be legitimate in terms of medical applications when carefully administered in some cases. This may include the use as a substitute for addictive and potentially lethal opioid painkillers.
Now, the president went on to say this move also makes it easier to conduct more research using cannabis. Also today, President Trump signed an executive order giving federal employees days off on Christmas Eve and December 26th. However, both the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ will not alter their trading schedules for those days. The Department of Health and Human Services is taking actions to block access to gender-affirming care for minors. The proposal includes cutting off federal Medicaid and Medicare funding for hospitals that provide gender-affirming care to children, and it would prohibit Medicare dollars from being used to fund those procedures. Here is Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy, Jr.
So-called gender-affirming care has inflicted lasting physical and psychological damage on vulnerable young people. This is not medicine. It is malpractice.
HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy, Jr.
It's quite astonishing, really. Every morning that I pick up from our partners at Bloomberg, you just hear Donald Trump's done this and Donald Trump's done that. In fact, one of the things that wasn't in that report is that Donald Trump is going to change the Kennedy Center into the Trump Kennedy Center, I kid you not. Anyway, the move that he made on cannabis, not surprisingly, had an impact on the stock market, but not necessarily what you might expect. Here's Carol Mazar and friends.
Pot stocks had quite the day. Trump did ease restrictions on cannabis, as was expected, and instead of boosting the group, it actually had the opposite effect. The MSOS cannabis ETF fell about 27% today.
But they initially rallied.
Exactly. So they had the worst day since last November today, but last Friday had their best day ever. The ETF was up 55%. So I think it was a case of people getting a little high on their own supply a little too early.
Hey, look at that.
I was just waiting for it. Was
it because it was priced in, or was it because
people think the legislation doesn't go far enough? Expecting this legislation for a while.
They also want the banking stuff too.
Exactly.
The Safe Banking Act.
But we kind of got exactly what we were told we were going to get, not more. And who doesn't want more?
While we're talking about international stocks and their impact, there is a war going on between Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly. Those who follow the Biz News portfolios will remember that we had Novo Nordisk in our portfolio some years ago, and we had a good ride with it. And then there were a few cockroaches coming out of that company, and we decided to leave. Well, that was an inappropriate time because it was just ahead of the release of weight loss drugs, which has transformed the business. As you'll hear from our partners at The Economist, they had a free run for 2 years. But Eli Lilly has now come back strong, and there is quite a punch-up going up between the two of them for dominance on this rapidly expanding field. Here's Rosie Bloor, and she runs the Intelligence podcast at The Economist.
Have you always had trouble with your weight? Me too.
Discover the power of Wegovy.
With Wegovy, I lost 35 pounds.
Consumers loved it. And for over 2 years, Novo Nordisk effectively had a monopoly on weight loss drugs. But now it risks losing that prime position to a competitor.
The weight loss market is one of the biggest markets in pharma history ever.
Shailesh Chitnis is our global business writer.
In 2023, Eli Lilly launched a rival drug to Novo's called Zepbound. And very quickly, Zepbound reached sales of nearly $5 billion, which is almost three quarters of what Novo had that year. This year, Zepbound is actually going to pull ahead of Wegovy. And in response, Novo's market value has dropped almost by two-thirds from its peak in June 2024. And this year alone, its stock is down 50%. At the same time, Lilly's market value is up by more than a quarter, and it's within striking distance of being the first $1 trillion pharma company.
So what has Novo done to try and reclaim its role?
At the company level, the new CEO did a bunch of changes. So first in September, he announced layoffs, which is almost 9,000 employees, which is more than a tenth of the workforce. And then he also said that he wants to focus Novo specifically on only obesity and diabetes. He felt that the company was kind of drifting a little bit away from its core focus areas.
But it sounds like it also had a problem with its marketing.
Particularly in America, a lot of the demand for weight loss is directly driven by consumers. Even if they are not covered by the insurers, they would pay out of pocket for it through various channels. And this is something that Novo just was not set up for. When I spoke to the CEO, he actually talked about making Novo think less like a pharma company and more like a consumer business.
Pricing of a consumer goods with its seasonality is very different than pricing insulin. With our value chain and supply chain, we have to not plan our activities around a rigid forecast like we did with insulin, again, that never moved. But think more like Amazon, where you buy a goods today and then 5 seconds later you say, oh, I don't need it, and you cancel it.
And this is a very new area for pharmaceutical companies, going direct to consumers.
And is that going to be enough, Shailesh?
I don't think it's going to be enough. It's definitely something that it needs to do quickly to at least not lose any more market share. In addition, I think the pipeline of drugs is also going to be very important. And with weight loss, initially there were a certain class of weight loss drugs that were only targeting total weight loss. But now as the market is evolving, the quality of the weight loss is also becoming important. So you don't lose as much muscle mass. You end up losing more fat.
It was a green day on local markets as well, not just with the rand improving and trading, well, as very comfortably below 17 to the US dollar and below 20 to the euro and around 22.5 to the pound, which are all very strong levels considering where we were earlier in 2025. But the JSE yesterday had a up day around about 1 percentage point overall, but it's hard to make that judgment because, as I've said many times in the past, there are different sectors in the JSE which often or usually move in different directions. Financials were up 1.25% yesterday, industrials 0.5%, and resources 1.5%. But and that's a rare day of uniform moving in the correct direction, as it were. All too often one sees that resources will go up and other stocks on the JSE do not as well. Well, when we have a look at 2025 as a whole, you will be aware that on BizNews we do follow the top South African stocks. You can go there. It's a link at the top of the home page, and you can see what your favorite stock has done or is doing through the day. We also have there a table, item on the table, which talks about the increase or decrease in the share price since the beginning of 2025. And I pulled out those numbers this morning to share with you as we're coming to the end of the year, and this is indeed our last broadcast for 2025. We'll be back again on the 5th of January, Monday the 5th of January. And there's some quite astonishing increases, and all of them, all of the big ones, are focused in the resources sector. Sibanye-Stillwater, had you bought it at the beginning of the year, you would have paid R15.94. Today it's at R58.59. That's an improvement of 267%. Northam up 225%. Anglo Gold Ashanti, 220%. Goldfields, 180%. Impala, 160%. Valterra, which is the old Anglo Platinum, 139%. And Harmony Gold, 113%. I know that Peter Major will be listening to this and saying, damn it, we should have had 30 JSE-listed gold stocks, and then it would have lifted the whole market. Well, once upon a time, that used to be the case. And who knows, going into the future, if we have some change in the legislation, which then makes it appealing for entrepreneurs to start digging gold out again and listing their companies on the JSE as they did 100 years ago, then we may well see another boom in gold stocks. But for the moment, those are the ones we need to focus on. Outside of those, the big mover on the industrial board was Blue Label Telecoms, and that ahead of the listing of Cell C. Blue Label has been neglected for some years. You could have bought it at R5.72 at the beginning of the year. It's now trading at R10.50. That's an 84% gain. Purple Group, which is in our portfolio, the owners of Easy Equities, the second biggest mover outside of the resources sector, that was up 80% this year. Easy to buy at R1.12 in January. And now just over, it's going to finish the year just over R2. MTN, 71%. Telkom, 66%. Merafe Resources, despite the problems that it's had with chrome, is 43% higher. And here's a surprise. British American Tobacco, 41% better. Now, this despite the fact that the Rand has been firm this year. BAT is, well, it's pretty solid, and it's done its trick for shareholders who don't care about the impact of the cigarettes that it produces. I suppose British BAT would say yes, but we are moving towards vaping and other better, less health-threatening products. Anyway, that's 40%. And then closing out the top performers, the top 15 on the JSE for the year are Prosus, which is in our portfolio as well. So we've done pretty well to have both Prosus and Purple Group in there. That's up by 39% for the year. And 91, the asset management company that has is up by 38.5%. And the interesting thing about those two is they both have very aggressive share buyback programs, and no doubt assisting in that share price improvement. But what goes up means there are some who go down. And here, the worst of the worst for the JSE this year has been Sappi, 51.5% down. You'd have had to pay R49.25 in January for the Sappi shares. They're now sitting at R23.84. It's an impact, I think, of a really tough market. Who'd want to be in paper nowadays? And the Rand hedge quality doesn't really mean that much anymore. And as a consequence of that, Sappi is down. A misstep by Foschini saw that stock lose nearly half of its value. Similarly with Truworths International, down 43%. One of our portfolio favorites, Afrimat, is down 42%. R70 in January, sitting at R40 today, and it's been a lot lower, as we know. But, well, we do believe that management team will come through, and who would believe it, but Mr. Price, as a result of some very serious resistance to the most recent decision by the company to invest R10 billion in a German retailer, that is one of the worst performing stocks on the JSE this year. It's down 39% for the year as a whole. It started the year at R293. It's now sitting at R179. Itel down 35.5%. And also in there amongst the worst of the worst is Spar. Spar, the retail group, which also had a number of missteps. If anything, the Mr. Price guys should be looking across at Spar and saying, if they had to write off their billions on the adventure that they had in Europe, in their case it was Switzerland and Poland, well, maybe we should be thinking 10 times before deciding to attempt a similar route, because the guys at Spar aren't dummies. They've shown that they can make money offshore in Ireland, but when you go into continental Europe or onto the continent itself, it is a different situation. Before I leave you for the last time in 2025, allow me to wish you, on behalf of the BizNews team, a wonderful Christmas or whatever it is that you celebrate during the holidays, and a very prosperous 2026. You can be sure that we will be doing what we can to help you to be better informed, to make better decisions next year. For the full interviews and details behind these stories, head over to biznews.com. I'm Alec Hogg. Thanks for starting your morning with us. Look forward to being back on the 5th of January. Now go and seize the day.